going on, everybody? This is Mike Baker, and you are listening to the Microsoft Recap. As always, I got my guy with me, Mike Bennett.
Hello.
What's going on, Mike?
What's up?
Today, we are going to be talking about Microsoft's biggest flops of the decade. Basically, all the products that Microsoft has attempted to come out with that either just flopped in general, or just never came to be, never came to fruition. Next topic we're going to be talking about is Microsoft's deciding to make a Broadway musical style film about itself.
Oh, my God.
yeah, that's on a level conceded. I mean, even if you make a video about yourself, like, and we understand infomercials and whatnot, but damn, a musical. Microsoft proving that the 4-day work week has improved the productivity in Japan, and how that could potentially offer some type of benefit to U.S. citizens and U.S. employees. I don't know if that's actually ever going to be a thing, but I think it's just going to be a thing if we make it a thing in like on an individual basis.
Like, but, standard, like mandatory.
Yeah. Like, I don't think it's going to become a thing until everybody individually just be like, you know what, I'm just taking off Friday.
Yeah, I'm not coming in.
I'm just not coming in. And enough do it. 50% of the people do it. It's just going to be a thing. But let's go ahead and start with these topics. Like I said, first topic is Microsoft's biggest flops of the decade. This is an article by Tech Republic, and they're basically just going into variety of products that Microsoft has attempted to come out with that has not succeeded. Three of the main top products that they are speaking about, if everybody remembers, Windows 8. That's essentially the OS to never be talked about again, next to like Vista.
If everybody remembers, so I like how you preface that.
Yeah, if anybody remembers, like, those were horrible days, and like that tiled interface really just, it was horrible. Like, the only thing that they left over with that in Windows 10 is when you hit the start menu and you see a couple of tiles on the right side. But yeah, they basically got rid of that whole concept. The article goes into why it went wrong. Most people understand why Windows 8 went wrong. Like, it was unusable because they tried to do too much. Like, iPad came out, Android was popping, smartphones were beginning to be the thing, and Microsoft wasn't in that race at all during the time because they didn't have a Windows like operating system for the phones. It was before Windows Phone came out. I think Windows Phone came out during the era of Windows 8, but it just wasn't really pushed out there. It wasn't really the product, but it had so many different issues because they were trying to make it like a desktop OS as well as making it like a tablet OS.
Yeah, it
was just, and it became a Frankenstein. It was a monster. It was a monster of itself. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a monster in a good way. Nobody liked it. Nobody wanted to use it. It was hard to manage when it came to installing old applications on a new platform. Like, how can I still use my old stuff when they were trying to get people to start developing in a new way for this new platform, and the new apps that came out for it looked all janky, and
it definitely looked and felt like it wasn't thoroughly thought out, man. Like, that, yeah, it's like when you're trying to have too many different thoughts on like what you're trying to accomplish, man. It almost sounds like there were too many things that, so they sat down in the war room and thought about, all right, so how are we going to do this new? Mm-hmm. And you have to generally come to a head where you say, okay, this is the point we're going to go with. That design, or what it seemed like they were trying to go with, it seems like the person who okayed the project moving forward thought everybody had a good idea and wanted to implement it all at the same time. It doesn't work that way.
Yeah, you want to agree with everybody. And that's what they actually said in the article. Like, it was trying to be the jack of all trade, and it failed at all of them. Yeah. Like, it was trying to be too many things. It was trying to be the desktop OS, trying to be the tablet OS, and it didn't work in either realm. The people that used to use Windows 7 and loved the way that Windows was felt like Windows 8 couldn't perform. And then everybody that used it as a tablet was like wondering, why do these apps not look they're not useful. Like, like there's a UI design, there's a design, there's a user interface design as part of, you know, building applications. And like when it comes to a tablet, it's a different way of using it from a mouse. So you're using your fingers for the most part. So like the buttons have to be fit for your fingers. And they did not design most of that stuff for that. And like when people try to use like Microsoft Office, like if you try to use Word or spreadsheets on there, it wasn't designed for your fingers on a tablet. So trying to press on a cell or trying to type in something like that using that janky keyboard that they had, shit wasn't just designed for that shit.
Man, it was just
like when Apple created with, you know, their iPad, they were like, yo, we're only making it for this iPad. We're making iOS work for this system. It's based off of the iPhone, but it's a whole new way of dealing with computing, and it's a whole new interface. And it's going to require, it's going to be something completely different. And we're not going to try to appease people of older platforms. We're not going to try to make the apps that people use on Mac OS work on iOS.
It was pretty, what they did was good. What created that is that it was out with the old and in with the new. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that's what they did. And that's what Microsoft did not do.
That's what they did.
And, and even with, because they had Windows Phone too. That was another thing. Like Windows RT, I'm not even going to bring up Windows RT. Like Windows RT was basically the stripped out version of Windows 8. Like Windows 8 was trying to be desktop and tablet. Windows RT was just Windows 8 for only tablet. But they didn't optimize that thing.
There were no real improvements.
Yeah, it really was the same thing. No, and nobody was developing for it. So it wasn't even a thing. So, and that was the same thing for Windows Phone. Like people actually loved the OS for Windows Phone. They loved the idea of what it could do, but the developers, which is the main thing, the third party developers, the people that's creating Facebook and creating Google Maps and all that, none of them were creating stuff for Windows Phone. And I mean, they even mentioned that in the article about how two of Google's biggest apps, which is YouTube and Google Maps, Google was just blocking them out. It was like, yo, we're not even gonna waste our time trying to create something for you. Like
that was the Windows, man.
I don't know if you heard of this software called Android, but we got this shit locked already. We don't need Windows. You know what I mean? Like you should have hollered back at us back in like 5 years ago when we wanted your help. I mean, so like that's how this it is. Like that's probably why they partnered up so tight with them now, because they be like, yo, we sorry, bro. Let's make amends, because now Microsoft is doing everything with Google.
Shorty trying to say what's up now that she didn't got, you know.
Yeah, yeah, man. don't go there, yo.
I'm good, though.
Yeah, I mean, but like, she on that comeback. That's what it is. And I mean, Microsoft has been definitely changed in like the last, I want to say, 3 to 4 years since the dude Satya Nadella came in. Satya, that's how they pronounce it. Satya. Yeah, I mean, I call him Sasha. Yeah, but whatever. Like the way he came in and started stripping things out and saying we're gonna focus on not always being the core system, but we're gonna work with all these other platforms. Like now you can get Outlook on Android or iOS. You can get Office on Android or iOS. They're not really trying to fight and try to create their own operating system. They know they already lost the fight. It's like now they live in more in a state of reality than they were before, because, you know, they've been so dominant for so long throughout 2000s and the 90s and early 2000s that they felt like they could just ride high for the whole way through. And they realized that, you know, in like 5-10 years, somebody gonna eat your lunch, and it don't take long. I mean, and basically the everything that Android is what Microsoft was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I mean, like
it's perfectly put, man.
I think we talked about it in the last article. Like Microsoft, Bill Gates talked about how he was saying that's a $400 billion industry that they missed out on. Yeah, I mean, like $400 billion is a lot of money. That's a lot. I mean, that's fluctuation, though. That's that's all the companies that are being spawned out of it. Like all the companies that are being created just because Android exists. I mean, like that's creating whole new industries, whole new companies, whole new innovations. And like Microsoft isn't a part of that now because they missed it out. They missed out early.
Yeah, that's how Android is a culture now. It's not just like a law. You know, a little company that's just like, that's how we have the whole, you know, Android versus iPhone, right?
Yeah.
Now, you know, you think about it, like, where would Android versus iPhone?
And it wouldn't have, and it probably wouldn't have been the same because, like, you know, Android is a variant of Linux. And if you don't know what Linux is basically the open operating system. And, like, being that Android is Linux, you can have it where it's the most dominant platform now, where 2 billion people use Android. Whereas if it was Windows, I got a feeling that Microsoft would have stayed with the same old tactics where they making licenses everywhere here and there, and then you gotta pay. You gotta pay to get in, you gotta pay to play and all this stuff. It stifles innovation. Yeah, I mean, so like it sort of they had to lose so that they can understand why they were losing.
Yeah, I think it's great when you see that a company still thrives. And, you know, it's not always good for everybody just to have their hands in the pot. You know what I mean? And I think Microsoft kind of created their lane anyway. Microsoft, of course, is great at a lot of things, but just looking at how like the history of their company's like structure and how they go about, you know, innovation and then commerce and stuff like that, like. I just don't think that their ideology of what a company should be would have benefited Android. I don't think it would have.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they essentially had to change what their ideology is. They definitely did. Like now they're working with everybody. Now they work with Linux. They talk about how they're one of the biggest supporters of Linux, where back in the day they were threatened by Linux at one point because they knew Linux was the alternative to Windows. They down Linux because they were talking about how Linux couldn't compete against their major platform, as you know, marketing has to do. But they did every way that they could possibly like put down the idea of another operating system like Linux, some open platform. And here comes Android, that's under Google, coming out, and they actually now have to follow Android and they have to follow Linux. I mean, and it's one of those things, like if you understood what it was back in the day, you could see that it was going to happen, but it's good to see it happening because being open source is just about giving it out to as many people as possible, no matter your income. And that's just a system that is always going to win. That's similar to how, that's why Google has dominance with Gmail. That's why Google has dominance with search. That's why they have dominance with maps, because they just give it to people and they get their money from advertisers, even though it's off your data, as many people find out day to day. But like they make sure that everybody has access to it, and that's going to be the dominant system. If you got the most access, if everybody got access, that's going to be what it is. I mean, if nobody had access to a pencil, nobody would be writing. Nobody would know how to write. So they made pencils this normal standard that everybody can have. I mean, so like it's the same concept, but that's really on Microsoft's ass. That's their fault. But they had to learn that to become the company they are today, because they still considered one of the most not just popular, powerful, but like just dominating companies in general in tech and in general and in tech.
Yeah.
Like they're never anybody that you can just be like, I'm just gonna pass off Microsoft. Not yet. Not yet.
Not yet. Got a lot of these other companies coming up, but Microsoft is still the reigning king, man. I mean, it just, you know, of course, Apple are the divas, but like Microsoft just holds more, like, I think they just have more gravitas in technology. You know what I mean? Everybody feels more comfortable using, the mass majority of people feel more comfortable using some system that uses Microsoft to do development for regular day to day use. Like, your PC, that's how it is, man. So,
yeah, and I want to see what happens with them going forward with everything becoming cloud-based and being web apps and whatnot. Because like we talked about with the last episode was Google Chrome and Microsoft Edge Chrome. Like now that everything is starting to be through web applications and services and subscriptions and stuff like that, instead of installing devices, installing software on your computer, I want to see what how they play that business model out and see if they do partner up with Google a little bit more. You know, they got, you know, they got that partnership, you know, they're trying to do that whole xCloud thing, and they got a partnership with Sony to use their cloud, that Sony's going to be using Microsoft's cloud. So I just want to see what happens with them going on in the future. But next article we have is that Microsoft decided to make a Broadway musical style film about itself.
Oh god, I
mean, this article is completely like, I mean, the article is cool, but the video just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. It's like, why even do it? Basically, they did like a infomercial slash musical.
It's called Microsoft the Musical.
Yeah, it's they talk about the products that they talk about the products that they create, but then they also talk about like the idea of Bill Gates. They kind of use him as like the pinnacle piece, talking about how he was a dreamer and how anybody can be a dreamer with Microsoft, and anybody can build with Microsoft and all the things that they have. But I'm like, why do it as a musical?
Yeah, you know, that's what I mean?
Like who are you trying to grab in the muse that like that are both
tech? Who okayed this?
Yeah, like who is both tech and musical friendly? I mean, like, I understand people like music, but not musical.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a whole nother realm. And it's like, are they, I feel like they were just trying to spend the last couple of dollars of the year for their fiscal year. Yeah, I feel like they had a budget that they were supposed to spend, and they didn't spend all of it for the fiscal year, so they had to spend a couple of extra dollars, and they threw it at this, because it don't make sense in any other realm. Like, you watch the video, and you'd be like, if it was on mute, you wonder what they were talking about. Like, if it was on mute, you'd just be like, oh, they look entertained. What is this, a movie? What is this? What is this? And you hear him talking about it, like, in Google Cloud and Microsoft Azure and Office products and shit. Like, what the fuck are y'all talking about? Like, y'all talking about Windows 10 and Microsoft Word. Why are y'all dancing to this shit? Like, this is work products. Like, what are y'all talking about?
Like, this sounds like a form of indoctrination, man. Like, I don't know who
it is.
People signed up for it, they better have gotten paid well.
And yeah, like, you know what they
like,
did.
They're fetishizing like Microsoft, like it's this whole thing of like, bro, you just continue to be good at what you do. Like all of this, you know, like you said, this crossover stuff is like, bro.
I feel like this was a business decision that wasn't ran across the board properly. I feel like they told them, We're doing a infomercial. They didn't tell them the type. They didn't tell them the style. They didn't tell them how long it was going, because it was like 10 minutes long or some shit. And they already spent the money on it, so it was no turning back.
They allocated the funds.
They said it took 8 weeks. They said it took like 8 weeks to do.
Man, I this is an L in my
it's a total L.
So two thumbs down, Microsoft. I don't know where the inspiration came from or why it was even okay, man. But you got to think, bro. Like the stuff after a while, like if you're being innovative, but then it doesn't really, like it's not really thought about of how it can resonate with your core audience, then this level of innovation can actually be harmful in some way. And of course, the company's not going to tank, but it's like, it's not going to move forward with this silliness. I know that's for sure. Like, looking at this video, man, it looks cheesy. And, you know, I expect, you know, you kind of get into, when you hear a musical, I already think Disney, right? Yeah. That's what I think about in my mind. So,
and that's what it sounds like.
If we're not talking about Disney shit, like, what's the point? Like,
right.
You know, there's no love story. There's no, like, you know, somebody, you know, overcoming anything, or like, you know, as far as like a, you know, how Disney designs their stories. Like, if you're talking about all this stuff about regular people, Bill Gates being a great person, like, that's good. We know that he proves that. Like, Microsoft being effective in what it does, like, it's good. Like, we know that, you know what I mean? But to have to turn it into something where, I don't know, they're trying to make this, like, digestible to kids or something, because...
That's what it feels like, because, I mean, they all... I mean, just looking at the cover picture, it looked like they're all interns freshly out of high school. I mean, and it looks like... I mean, they all got their hands up like this, and it's like, they already know, like, I don't know. Like, why are we making this video? Who knows? We're just making it.
That I grew up, I know, and how I grew up, they don't resonate with this type of stuff. It's corny.
They shouldn't have put their name on it, for real. They should have just called it The Musical. I mean, just don't take off Microsoft.
But you know what's ironic? I feel like, and this just speaks to the stands of Apple. I feel like if Apple pulls some shit like this, maybe, and so I split. I feel like if Apple would have tried to do it, it would have been a little bit more entertaining, but then it's like, it's still, it would be in their lane anyway, because this is what they kind of do. Like, you know, this would be a stronger example of how they, like, just their whole culture. You know what I mean? Like, I can see Apple in this lane more than I would see Microsoft.
Yeah, and I guess that's also a good way to look at it, because you can definitely say that it's more of a community play than anything else, because they're trying to appeal to a broader audience. Like, when you watch the video, there's nothing technical about it at all. It's all, like, fun-loving. It's definitely a Disney musical. It's just that the words that they use are Microsoft product names. I mean, Microsoft Azure, Microsoft Office, I mean, Windows. Like, how do y'all put these in the musical? It doesn't make sense. But if you don't think about that part, it just looks like a fun musical for kids to entertain themselves with. And yeah, that can be very indoctrinating, because, you know, if a kid does adapt to it and be like, yeah, I like it, next thing you know, they spitting out Microsoft product names and they don't know no better. They just like the musical. I guess they hoping that video gets caught up in, like, YouTube Kids or something. And, you know, kids are watching the video, liking the video, and dancing to it, singing their lyrics, and getting indoctrinated.
That's true, because kids do catch on. It's like, you know, they stuff I listen to, like, with my nephews, like, think it's cool and stuff like that. I'm like, I'm at that age now, I can be like, come on, man, that stuff is cool. I don't know why y'all like this stuff, but I guess that's a valid point. You know, maybe you put it out there to, you know, kids, you get them early. You know, because when I'm thinking tech, you know, I don't know why this is, like what you said, I don't know how this is, like, intermingled with tech in some ways. It's like, yeah, bro.
I could see if like Microsoft was still in, like, the media content industry, where they were creating shows and stuff like that, where they, you know, they created a kids channel or some shit, and this was part of it. part of it, not like. And because it just don't make sense. It's one video just dropped out of nowhere, and there's no other part of the marketing campaign. It's just this. This is the marketing campaign. Like, this is the best you got? No, it's really just, I think it's just to capture the outside market for people that, you know, just have the name of Microsoft associated with something that is not tech. And it sucks, basically, to me. This guy looks like he's from, like, 1993 with a stag on sweater on and his hair, man, curled the way it is. It
definitely look like some type of late 80s, like,
yeah, like Nickelodeon's video. Like, yo, I'm expecting him to get slimed in a minute.
His face is just slime ready. That's what it is.
Yeah, like, he's just waiting for a surprise. He's talking all fun and he doesn't know that he's about to be slimed.
This is a fail, and I hope this is a fail. I hope there's no Microsoft the Musical Part 2 revisited, or Microsoft gets more musical. How do you name musicals now?
How they name them? Yeah, I don't know how they name them. Last musical I remember hearing anything about was Oklahoma and Hamilton. I mean, I ain't seen neither one of them. So I couldn't even tell you.
I'm good. Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, come out with a mascot or something. Like, if you're going to go do the whole thing, don't just throw in a random musical, whatever. Microsoft, this new article, the last article, is going to be Microsoft proved a 4-day work week improved productivity in Japan. Can its results translate to the U.S.? This is a topic that they talked about this, like, I want to say late October, early November. But it's been a topic that's been floating around because of the fact that they considered it to be a proven fact that it is potentially a viable solution.
It's proof, yeah.
Yeah, that that you could change your system around to be like a 4-day work week instead of the traditional 5-week day, or in a lot of people's cases, particularly in America, the potential to have a 7-day work week, like the stress that could potentially put on humans and the productivity that they have. Just being, when I was reading the article and when I was going through learning about this, well, you know, they learned it from dealing with Japan. Microsoft has a division in Japan. It's Microsoft Japan, or however they name it. But they have a division over there where the management in Japan has decided, because of the culture of Japan, to implement the 4-day work week. And basically what they found out is that throughout those 4 days, people are more productive. And throughout those 4 days, people tend to even work more for those 4 days, and then they chill out on their 5th day. So yeah, like, they may actually put in a 5-day worth of work, like a 5-day work week worth of work, but they are able to compact it in that 4-day. And then on that 5th day, 6, 7, they do what they do. And when they come back, they are comfortable coming back during that next week worth of work. And like, they don't feel as stressed out doing that work because they have more time to chill.
More time to unwind, relax.
To unwind and bring it. And
the work-life cleanse, yeah.
Yeah, like, it becomes a thing when you, like, I mean, it's a ratio factor. You have the 5-2 ratio factor right now for most people. And then the general consensus of employment is 5 days on, 2 days off. And those 2 days, they go quick as hell. They like a snap of a finger, they disappear.
And if you're in tech, you know, sometimes them 2 days, it really be a 6-1. If you got some type of launch or some type of, something got to be put up.
I raised my hand to this because, like, I mean, technically I'm on call all the time and I have full access to my servers and I'm always able to do something if anything is an emergency that needs to be done. So even on my days off, I'm technically in a position where I'm capable of working. I mean, I work online, so I don't have to, I mean, I have an office, but I don't necessarily have to be at the office to do my work because the work that I do isn't done in the office. It's done in a data center somewhere. Nobody ever actually touches or sees. It's just me and a couple people that all access those servers. But like, that still means that even though you think, like, I don't have to do nothing, I don't have to lift nothing to go nowhere, I still am on call 24/7 and I still have to understand how to get my work done no matter where I'm at.
Regardless, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, you still have to be able to do the work. But nonetheless, just being able to have, like, even I take my Fridays off. We don't have a 4-day work week, and that's just something that's not implemented anywhere in most work, like, part-time.
And I want to throw this out there, by the way, for people that, some of the folks that may understand where I'm coming from. Just work 4 days working in the office and then working from home on the 5th day is not a 4-day work week.
Yeah, that's
you still have to work 5 days, although you may try to slack on the 5th day. Yes. It's still a 5-day work week. Yes. And what we're talking about here is, it's mandatory. You have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then Friday starts the weekend.
Yeah, so it's a mandatory. Yeah, it's a mandatory 5th day off. Yeah. Like, well, not 5th day off, but mandatory 4-day work week based on government rule type thing. So like, or at least Microsoft's rule. But it's one of those things where it's actually implemented office-wide. It's not just an employee taking PTO or taking a day off or deciding to work from home where you're still accountable. Like, you still have to do work when you work from home. You can't be lollygagging. Right.
Just make sure your status don't stay away. That's all.
Yeah, yeah, basically.
No trade secrets here.
You gotta know how to do it. You gotta know how to get your wins. Like, I got a friend that her whole business model is working from home. Her whole she works for a company, for an insurance firm, but they work from home. I mean, like 50% of the staff is home based, and that's just the model of how it works for them. But they have to be on call. They have to be continuously active. They have system software on their computer that monitors their activity to make sure that they're productive the whole time. But like, it's a viable solution, but that's different from actually having a 4-day work week where you can ease your mind and just completely free yourself from thinking about the stresses of work.
And the thing that was cool about that, I can't remember if it was an article I read or someone told me, but I think in Russia, they already have it, like, where the majority of the companies, and I could be wrong, I could be quoting it wrong, but it said majority, like, just a work employee, the culture there is that it's 3 to 4 days at the maximum work. And they actually found that they get more done, because here in the Americas, we space things out. Of course, 5 days mandatory, maybe even more. And they say that generally the work that can be done, that we spread out here over the course of 5 days, can be compacted into at least 3 days.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking if people hit a short burst, and so I can see how that could potentially be better, because people will be a lot more well rested. I don't think we are, just as human beings, man, we're not designed to work for some, the slave for somebody for the majority of our lives. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of the systems.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man. A lot of the systems that we put in place, I mean, we didn't design around our well-being. Like, we designed them around getting the job done and being productive. I always say productive. I'm thinking productivity. But they never really are designed for our well-being and for us to have any type of longevity doing those tasks. Like, if some of these jobs weren't designed for burnout, like, people will probably do most of their jobs for their whole lifetime instead of doing a job for a couple of years and being like, yo, I can't do this no more, I gotta quit.
Yeah.
If it was just designed for burnout, or if they allow for more employees, or like, there's always these, I don't know, man, like, companies are always trying to find ways to cut costs and cut, like, employments and paying people out for things, paying for benefits and whatnot to the employees, like, as if they're not going to ultimately make money nonetheless if they just keep in operation. There's one of these, there's this ideology that, you know, you just got to keep churning the minimum amount of, like, resources that you have to get the most benefit out of. So, like, if your employees are seen as a resource or a commodity, you try to get as much out of them as you can to get as much productivity as you can without having to get that many
pennies.
It's like, that's cool and all, but you know, that's how revolution start, that's how rebellion start, that's how people start, like, hanging up their employers and shit, like, yo, we're just gonna raid this shit, we just gonna, like,
mass shootings, man.
Yeah, because, you know, I mean, you want to see society take over and, you know, go at that 1%, keep giving them 50-hour, 60-hour, 70-hour work weeks, you'll see your uprising. I mean, like, because people just gonna have enough, and they go to this point of a break of insanity, and, like, I mean, that's just what it is. You can't really push people beyond their limits, and you got to understand what their limits are.
There you go.
We've been able to do it for a while, but it's not a sustainable method of like offering employment to people. I mean, you can see the improvement just by having this example be done. Japan is made out. And they continue to be making out. So, I mean, just seeing what it does, implementing it where they can. Like I said, if I was you, if you got the opportunity, if you have a position where you're able to potentially either minimize one of those days that you work, or you just give yourself as much time that you need, take it. Because is worth it more in the long run.
Work ain't going nowhere, but your life is.
Yeah. Your health and your life is important.
The company ain't going to spit. There's plenty of people. Microsoft been around for some time. There's plenty of people who started working there. There's plenty of people who maybe even died or retired from there, and that company is still going. So,
yeah,
man, take the time to enjoy the time you have, man. Like, don't be slaving. You know, I just feel like it's becoming some type of like a motivational speech talk or something like that. But nah,
yeah, God is. You know, I mean, like, I mean, you can be a company man, but for so long. I mean, like, it's you can do that company thing if you want to, but after a while, you might find out that that company really doesn't have nothing invested in you beyond the work that you can offer. Like, a lot of people tend to, you know, make their company their home, and like, their employees are their family and all this stuff. And like, no, you gotta have an outside life. I mean, you gotta go and live somewhere else, because when that's over with, that's over with. So like, you gotta make your life a priority and not just your work.
Remember, that stuff can be cut short too, man. It'd be family until, you know, you get on that PIP program, performance improvement.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're on your way. I mean, you're on your way out here trying to replace you. I'm talking from experience here. You know what I mean? So it'll be all lovey-dovey. And yeah, you know, we go out to the bars, a happy hour, something like that. But it's time to make cuts. Exactly. You'll see how sociopathic these companies become. And you can't. You know what I mean? You can't be on that wave of like thinking just because you spend the mass majority of your time there that that's where your life's purpose is. And I think that maybe like going back to the article, I think that's kind of maybe was the driving force behind them making the change or doing this test to see like what do people really do. Like, well, Japan is already, I feel in my opinion, Japan is just technologically more advanced than anything else, everybody else in the world. They already got like 3D, like museums and stuff like that, of like, you know, the virtual, like, is it stay on another level? So to take it to that level, it requires like a different level of talent, expertise, and commitment. So to condense that into, you know, a 4-day work week and then giving people the time and space to really recharge, so that, like, I just think it's bound to work. And hey, I feel like that's something that Microsoft can lead the charge on, you know, coming to the Americas. You never know what that can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah. More power to you if you got to work more than 50 hours. I'm saying 50 because that's usually the range that I'm in anyway. So if you're doing that or more than, like, if you're even working 40 hours and you feel like you're not getting the benefit of what your work is worth, more power to you to find something worthwhile. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you ultimately a number. As an employee, and like, you know, people care about you, but you just gotta really do what you gotta do for yourself.
There you go.
Yeah, but not to bring it down to this whole help motivational thing. That's basically the last article. If anybody really likes this show, y'all know what to do. Y'all gotta hit the like button, the subscribe button, comment, you know, share feedback. We love feedback. We'll continue to be doing this weekly. So if you like Microsoft or you like to know more about the Microsoft recap, more about like Microsoft news in general, hop on that Microsoft recap and listen to more of this later. Got anything to say?
You said it, man. Like, comment, subscribe. We at wherever you frequent, man, that's where we at. You know, just look for us, the Microsoft recap. You got a lot of great stuff coming your way. We wanted to, you know, hear more of what you all suggestions would be and just get some more input, because, you know, the more and more we give you all what you want, you know, more and more you like the show. So, yeah, man, it's just, you know, any comments, suggestions, or just, you know, commentary on how we did or like what you like, just drop it in the comment below. You got emails. And I'm going to send us an email. Tell us what you think. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, we're going to continue feeding y'all with that dope ass news. I'll let y'all.
All right, fun out, man. All right, y'all. Peace.